Thank you, Clay, for that beautiful music. Jesus is our cornerstone. Tonight I want us to look at another song, probably one of the most familiar songs that you know in the Bible, the 23rd song. But I'm not going to sing it for you. We're going to let David do that and see what he says. The 23rd Psalm. You know, I would assume most of you here know a lot of it or know most of it by heart. And it's always good for me to pick out a wonderful text that you already know. And it's a wonderful text. Let's look at it. The 23rd Psalm, you know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David paints a wonderful picture, doesn't he? A picture of a faithful shepherd who, through tender care and continued watchfulness, he leads his sheep into rest and reviving. Into the struggles of life and through dangerous places, the shepherd thus provides the needs of life and protects from fear and danger. Think about David as he writes this psalm. I'm thinking that he's probably older in age as he writes this. Maybe he picks up his harp, which back then was the guitar of the day. And maybe he plucks it a little bit. Maybe he sings a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. And I like to think as he plucks his harp and he thinks about those times where God has been with him and led him through the wilderness, led him through the high places where he's been king, led him in the valleys, in the shadow of death. He's given this psalm as a psalm of wisdom. But I want us to think about David as he was a young man. And maybe he thought about composing this psalm. I'm sure he did while he was on the fields of Bethlehem, tending to his father Jethro's flock. Listen to David as he says these words when he's confronting Saul, when David comes to help Saul and fight Goliath. David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the, and they took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them." Man, he's fired up, isn't he? He's ready to go. Can you imagine, he destroyed a lion and the bear? Caught them by their beard. I didn't know they had beards, but he did. I wonder if she lions and she bears have beards, but he did. He caught them. He was on fire. And you know, I think it made David mad when he went up to the Philistine line and to the line of Israel and he saw Goliath taunting God. Because David knew one thing that was the most important thing in his heart is he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. And nobody was going to talk about his Lord. Because he was so close to him. I think about maybe David on the fields of Bethlehem was composing part of this psalm while watching his father's flocks. Maybe in the same, very same fields where 1,000 years later the angel choir announced the birth of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Reverend Beecher writes this about this psalm. He said, "This psalm has flown like a bird up and down the earth, singing the sweetest song ever heard. It has charmed more griefs to rest than all the philosophies of the world. It will go on singing to your children, and to my children, and to their children, to the end of time. And when its work is done, it will fly back to the bosom of God, fold its wings, and sing on forever in the happy chorus of those it had helped to bring there. I like that. David's picture that we are all like sheep, pilgrims traveling in the need of the Lord. We need direction. We need food. We need help. We need people to tell us. We need God to tell us what to do. Sometimes we don't think we do, but we really do. And we need to know what's at the end of life. And there God is there at our journey. I think about the children of Israel when I read this psalm, traveling the wilderness 40 years. They traveled light. They traveled in tents. They depended on the Lord for their very food, for their very existence. The pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, they traveled for 40 years. They depended on God for their shelter, protection, and their guidance. When we look at this psalm, David opens up with this theme. He could have stopped at the first sentence of this psalm. It is so powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And those two themes go running through this whole psalm. It is a psalm. It's a relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. I will lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. It is a psalm about total faithfulness, David's total faithfulness in this shepherd. But you know what is so important in this psalm, what I like, is those first two words. There's 115 words in this psalm, and it starts with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. David wants us to know right off the start, just like he was ready to fight Goliath. Let me tell you, who is my shepherd, David is saying? The Lord. And just like he told Goliath, let me tell you, God will take care of you. Just like he, in his whole life, the Lord. The Lord. See, the Lord in this scripture is God's personal name. It stands for Yahweh. And by the time this Psalms was written, they had another word they used. Yahweh was so holy and precious of a word, the scribes would literally take their quill and take it and take another quill and write the word Yahweh. And sometimes they take off their robes and put on another robe and clean up. So they had a cover word, which we call Adonai. And when you see the Lord, Adonai is personal God. It is, David is saying, this God is very personal to me. He's very close. He knows me. And this is his name. You know, sometimes I'm called electrician. Or tonight I might be called the person bringing the message, the preacher. But my name is Scott. And David wants everybody to know, hey, the Lord, Adonai, is my shepherd. And he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He could have said Elohim, Creator God. He could have said El Shaddai, God Almighty, or El Elyon, God Most High. But he said, no. When I'm walking through those shadows, when I'm walking in that path, I have a personal relationship with God. The Bible tells us in Samuel that David is a man after God's own heart. He is close to God. The name reflects the close relationship David had. It is the name that God told Moses at the burning bush. It is the redemptive name of God. God comes to save. He told Moses, I have heard the call of my children. Go save them. Go get them. And Moses said, who are you? I am that I am. Yahweh. I am and I cause. One who is and one who causes. The name is holy, holy. It is the Lord that David says is my shepherd. It is the Lord that maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It is the Lord that leadeth me beside the still waters. It is the Lord that restoreth my soul. The Lord that leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord. I think about that. The Lord. He's reminding us that the Lord is God Almighty. And he can do all things. And he cares for us. God the shepherd, David is reminding us, he doesn't check the weather. You ever thought about that? He makes it. He doesn't defy gravity. He created it. He isn't affected by health. He has no body. He is a spirit. Jesus said, the Lord is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Since he is a spirit, he is unlimited and can go anywhere. He is unchanging, uncaused, unconquered. Don't we need this kind of shepherd? I remember when I was a little kid, my dad would tune his violin. He'd practice every night, and it'd drive my mom crazy. And he'd take something called a tuning fork. And to be honest with you, I was going to bring it tonight, but Dad nor I could find it. But anyway, he would take that tuning fork, and he would tap it against something. And it don't matter what he tapped it against. Whenever he put it up against a piece of wood, it'd make that same sound. Dad said that was A440, and he tuned his violin. God is like that. Think about all the changes that has happened in this world. But God does not change. He still loves us. He still cares for us. He is the same Yahweh who talked to Moses, who ruled the world then, is the same God who rules the world today. He is eternal. God is an anchor in our unmovable, raging sea sometimes. And God is the still point in our turning world. He is the unchanging shepherd and the on-time God. He was on time with Moses at the Red Sea when Pharaoh's chariots came to him and tried to conquer him. He was on time with David when David slew Goliath. And when David slew many Philistines, and when David took the throne, he was on time with Daniel in the lion's den, and he was on time with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into the fiery furnace. But God is not just an on-time God. He made time and created time. He is uncaused. Nobody ever calls God. We don't understand how God came into being. We don't understand all these mysteries, but we don't have to. We can accept God by faith. No one ever breathed life into Yahweh. No one gave birth. No one can take him out either. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody can take my God out. Does he fear earthquakes or storm or tornadoes? No. He speaks just a word. Be still, and all is calm. Cancer does not trouble him. And cemeteries do not disturb him. He was there before they came, and he's in control of life and death. Friends can hold your hands and comfort us at the time of death, but we need the Lord who can give us life. Philosophers debate the meaning of life, but we need the Lord who can declare the meaning of life. When we think about it, we don't need to carry the heavy burden of a small God or a man-made God or a God on a shelf or a God in a box or a God in a bottle. We need a God who can place 100 billion stars in our galaxy and 100 billion galaxies in our universe. That's the kind of God we've got. We can't even understand the limit of his majesty. We need a God who can create a mass of 75 to 100 billion nerve cells, each with as many as 10,000 connections to their other nerve cells, place it in our heads and call it a brain. That's the kind of God we got. And this big God, David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. We hadn't even got past the first two words. How powerful is this psalm? The Lord, Jesus, says, I am the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Not only did God create the universe for us, but he gave himself so that we could have life and have way. He gives us direction. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He gives us life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And we have these I am statements throughout. There's at least seven throughout the Gospel of John. He gives us food. He says, I am the bread of life. He gives us guidance for our path. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He gives us friendship. In John 15, he tells his disciples, he says, I've called you servants, but now I call you friends. Well, what kind of, that's a wonderful God. He calls us friends. He loves us. And he's there. He's the shepherd who brings us to greener pastures. Let's look. I shall not want. David is completely satisfied when the Lord is by his side. Everyone in the Old Testament times, as David wrote this psalm, knows about the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Sheep sometimes are easily startled and scared. And they get lost. They follow each other in circles sometimes, especially when dogs bark or coyotes yowl or loud noises. But at times, the shepherd, what does he do? He has to catch the sheep. Catches him with his staff. And sometimes he has to just kind of force him to be still a little bit. Sometimes he has to force him just to eat and to quit running around and going around in circles. And when the sheep, after a while, when they know that they trust the shepherd and they know the shepherd's going to take care of them, they lay down in green pastures. Aren't you glad he makes us to lie down in green pastures and not lay down on nails and cement and rocks? Sometimes the Lord has to face us, force us to lay down and to rest and to trust in him. Sometimes we go through times of unemployment and sickness, hospital stays. Maybe we're taking care of a sick child or sick parent. Sometimes God is forcing us just to stop and look and to think about what's going on. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I grew up next to my granddad's lake, and we'd go down there in the summer especially. We'd go down there almost every afternoon and we'd jump in it. But I always was amazed when the lake was still and the wind wasn't blowing on it. It was such a beautiful sight. We could get out in a boat, and you could just look, and you could see all kind of things. I mean, you could see ferns, and all just you could see fish. Just. And Granddaddy had a deck built on the little cabin, and we'd feed the fish, and we'd feed them around. And when you would, it got to the point where you'd walk out on that deck, and the fish knew you were there. Now, I don't know how far a fish can see. Y'all know? But I can tell you that when I'd walk out of it, I was 20 foot above them, and they'd all just go right there, and I'd walk across, and my brothers and I would play with them. We'd just see, you know, if they'd follow, and they'd follow you, because they knew it was time to be fed. But, you know, it was always neat when the lake was just still, and you could see things. But you know what you see when the lake is really still, you see your reflection. You see who you really are. And sometimes I think God wants us to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes God wants us just to be still and think about things. David says in Psalm 139, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. The sheep need to be led by the still water. And then God can restore our souls. You ever had your soul revived? Certainly you have, when you ask Jesus into your heart. But many times God revives our souls and helps us to get along our way. I think about Elijah when I think about reading this. He restoreth my soul. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah's in a battle on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. And Ahab is there, and they're having this contest, and you know all about this contest. They build these altars, and the 450 prophets of Baal ask the fire to come down from their false god, and of course it didn't happen. And then Elijah says, "Well, pour water on mine a bunch." And then, of course, he calls and prays the Lord, and fire comes down and consumes the altar. But, you know, and that was a great time for Elijah. He showed who the Lord was and who God was. But after that, he was tired. And then when Queen Jezebel, heard about this, she says, "Elijah, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you." And so he ran to Mount Horeb. And Elijah, literally, in 1 Kings 19, he requested the Lord, "Lord, I just want to die." After all that great show that God performed, he was tired and he needed the Lord to restore his soul. And what did God do? He sent an angel to feed Elijah and to help him. And we know that Elijah was restored. But God wants to restore us. He restores us through his word. He restores us through revivals. He restores us through prayer and trusting in Jesus. He restores us. He looks for us. I like what Matthew says. Jesus looks for the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." You know, there's a lot of things that we can do to be righteous. We can obey his commandments and obey the calling on our lives that he has. But you know, I think the principle here is he chooses the path for us. Because it says he leads us in the path of righteousness. It's the righteousness that he has. He chooses a path for you and I. What path has he chosen for you? And not only that, I believe he goes ahead of us. He knows what's down the road for us. He chooses the path for us for his... "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Acts 4:12 reminds us there's no other name given under heaven. But Peter is reminding the people is that the name of Jesus is the name that we call on for our help. It is the name that God has revealed to us to help us in our time of need. So we see that this is the Lord and is leading us, the shepherd and the sheep. And then in verse 4, it takes a little bit of a different turn. You notice it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He's not as bold here. This is a time, I believe, David is trying to remind us. There's times in our lives where we go through some hard times. And I think about David and his life. I think about the low times when Saul was after him trying to kill him. And he had to hide in a cave. And he had to go to the land of the Philistines. And then there was a time where David was betrayed by his own son, Absalom. And David was even having to leave the city of Jerusalem because Absalom was coming to take over. And as David was going out, some of the people were literally throwing rocks at David, saying, "Oh, you're sorry, king." And David just kept his cool and kept going because he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. There was great times in David's life, but there were some valleys too. The shadow of death. It literally means the deepest darkness. It also includes the darkness of death. You notice it says, in the middle of verse 4, it says, "For thou art." He's not saying he anymore. It's closer. It's you. You are with me. The harder the struggles in life, the deeper the darkness, the closer the shepherd. And you know what? He brings every strength with him. Listen, it says, "You're with me." Not only that, but you bring your rod and your staff with you. He's got it all to help him. It is the trust in the shepherd the shepherd comes alongside. No longer is the shepherd just in front of him or behind him, but the shepherd is right there beside the sheep. Jesus is right there beside us. He's as close as the mention of his name when we call on his name and ask him to help us. I'm reminded what Paul says. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's with us, even in the shadow of death. You know, when a close one passes away that's so close to you, that shadow of death, you feel it. But I want to tell you, people can come along and people help. God sends people to help you. But there's no real words that can describe death and help you with death except these words in this book. These words are words of life. And if I don't say anything else that's important, there's one thing I have learned walking through the shadow of death. This book is real and it's alive. I remember Peter, when Jesus was telling him, he was telling the disciples he had to go when he was going to be crucified. And Peter says, "Where are you going to go? Who else has the words of life?" This book truly is alive when we read it and let God deal with our heart. Well, I believe not only does Jesus lead us through the shadow of death, but he also leads us to a prepared table. And so it changes a little bit. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." I believe God brings us into his house. As the great host, he has brought us under protection. He anoints us with perfumed oil. The greatest blessing, though, is the intimate fellowship in the house of God. The word "dwell" here: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Literally means, the Hebrew word, "I will return to the house." You know, we all started, God gave each and every one of us a soul. And one day we all will come back to meet him. We will come back to the house. And those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, he will greet us. He will prepare that table. He will prepare the place that he said he would come again to receive us unto himself. It all starts with the Lord. It all starts with him. And it all ends with him. And I think that's what one of the themes that David is trying to portray to us. I like what 2 Corinthians 5 says. It says, "For we know if we have our earthly house of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Your life and mine starts and ends with the Lord. He is the one who is and who causes. I cannot really add words to the 23rd Psalm. I probably do it injustice. The Psalm itself stands out by itself as a powerful message of the Lord and who he is and who he wants to be for you and I. He loves us and cares for us more than we can ever know. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this beautiful psalm, God. We thank you that you stir in people's hearts like David to write a song like this. A song that has helped thousands and thousands through generations. It's so simple, but it's so true. It's a psalm that can help us even tonight to those who are hurting. And Father, I pray that if there's any here that are hurting and need you, that you'll touch their hearts and they'll come to you. I pray that if there's any who don't know you, Father, tonight, that they'll come to know you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that as we all go out tonight, we just remember the important thing is not just our journey, but the important thing is the Lord. And it's the Lord that we will meet one day. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here today.